So hi, welcome to the Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
And we're here with
Grayson from Lightworker.
And we're some questions to say about their upcoming album, How the Beautiful Decay. So congrats on that, by the way. How do you feel about the response, the announcement so far?
It's been pretty cool. We've been excited to roll this out for a while now. So we're just stoked to see everyone reacting well to the new music. So I know it's been a little bit for us. So yeah, we've been excited about it.
Hell yeah, the album fucking rocks.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hell yeah.
Of course. So is there any meaning behind the album title or cover art?
Ooh. Yeah, so for the album title, Joe and I were talking about what the second album was going to be about, like, soon after the first one was out. Joe always likes to kind of have those future conversations very, very early. I'm usually the one that kind of like pumps the brakes on it because like I'm tired and, you know, we've just been through a lot of stuff. But yeah, so for the album title, when we were talking about it, he kind of told me, like, lyrically, he said, I kind of want to dive into thematically in the lyrics on the next record. I kind of want to dive into the idea around decay in general. He just gave me one word. Immediately, the title, How the Beautiful Decay, popped in my head. So we actually had the album title before we wrote a single note of anything for the record. Like, I think that we had the album title almost a year before we even started writing
Goddamn.
The album. And yeah, so everything around it's kind of in it, and it kind of made sense too, just with everything, just, you know, having released our first record at the very beginning of a pandemic, when we were announced and the plans were kind of in motion, it was already set that we were going to announce like to Solid State, like 3 weeks after the pandemic hit. So it wasn't anything we could stop.
Mm-hmm.
So just like through all of that, and then just being in it for a while until like when we started writing this, we had already been in the pandemic for like over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of decay kind of just made sense in a lot of ways. Just the idea of, it's a slow destruction. It's something that you don't see like in the moment. It's the same thing of like going to the gym. You're not going to go to the gym one day, come back and just be like looking in the mirror and seeing immediate change.
Yeah.
It's the same effect, but just like on the negative spectrum, I guess, of just after being at home for so long, like for me, for example, just thinking I'm usually a homebody. So just not thinking how much things would affect me, but then just realizing how much like not having a normal routine or just going out for these small things that seem like such a finite and somewhat meaningless thing for me, like how that affected even my creativity when we started to like write the record. So decay in a lot of different ways. So thematically, the fact that like Joe wanted to focus on things like that. And again, that title popped in my head immediately. It's also like an old, some friends of ours, they had a band where that was their band name. They took it from a Darkest Hour song, but immediately that popped in my head. And I was just like, yeah, I think that's like the name of the record. And it sucked the whole way through. So, yeah, that's my like super roundabout explanation on the title.
Gotcha.
But in terms of the artwork, it was, we knew. Well, actually, we didn't know. We had a conversation with our buddy Jason at Unoriginal Vinyl, who also does like a lot of the stuff for like Solid State and everything. He's like worked on a lot of like the re-releases or the like first time releases on vinyl as well. And we kind of like almost from a conversation with him, kind of landed on continuing with the butterfly theme a little bit for a couple of reasons. One, it's like, once we landed on that, we thought it was pretty cool just thematically for, you know, for various reasons, but also just kind of knowing that being a band that's starting out on the label in a pandemic where we're not able to tour and get that exposure, like having something that's also a little bit easier to recognize from a branding perspective,
mm-hmm.
where if people see the continuity of like, oh, maybe that's a Lightworker album, that's also like super cool.
Yeah.
So we wanted to take that. We knew the album was going to be a little heavier, maybe even a little darker, both thematically and also in some of the moods and like some of the parts. So that's where we kind of had the idea of the last album cover was very colorful. Everything about the record was very colorful. Let's dial a lot of that back and mute a lot of it with the concept of decay, but keep that teal, like the two butterflies on the first cover with the teal, like let's keep that. Change everything else around it. The butterflies that are dead on the bottom, by the way, of the cover are the butterflies on the first record.
Oh wow.
So have
Yeah.
you had this, have you had this like concept just of the cover kind of evolving since the start?
Not really. That was somewhat of a happy accident thing. I have to admit, like the concept of the butterflies came from Ryan Clark, who did the first artwork, right? So Ryan from like Demon Hunter, and he's like obviously like runs Invisible Creature with his brother. So that kind of just sparked from the Fury by Failure era of like a butterfly needs to go through this super gnarly transformation in a cocoon in order to become that. So we love that imagery. And then just going into the decay and almost like rebirth side of it, which is like, you know, the teal staying there and it coming back, like that kind of all just fit. We had a conversation with our designer Bailey, and she did an amazing job on the new one. And that all kind of just came into play pretty naturally and organically. She kind of just like took that and ran with it. We kind of think we threw out the idea of like the cocoon and everything. And I think the dead butterflies at the bottom, maybe we threw that out. Maybe she threw that out. I think it was a part of the conversation. So whether we realized it or not at the time, I think that the idea of the decay was kind of like when we saw the cover, we were like, those are the butterflies on the first record. It all ties together. Like it all makes sense now. So I think that was always our intention without us even realizing it. But when we saw it, we were just like, yep, there we go.
There it is. Shit, that's so cool. That's so fucking
It's
cool.
fucking sick. Hell yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about your writing process for the album?
It's long, a little slow, not gonna lie. I feel like I was actually a big proponent of that. I definitely had major writer's block at the beginning. But just in terms of the process, like I think the first song that we wrote was at least musically was a song called Rusted Crown. It's the second to last song on the record. That song messed me up because it's the basically from like a metal perspective, writing a song, that whole song is in 3/4, right? The whole thing. So Joe comes in with this tapping riff that was just like the chorus and like built around that. And I was just like, cool. So this is in 3/4. And so we decided to make the whole thing 3/4. That was really difficult to jump back into writing for the first time in a completely different time signature that we're used to writing in. That's like, you have a chorus or something like that, that's in 3/4 that you could switch back to 4. Like we do that in First Light, but a whole thing in 3/4 for the first song. That messed me up for like 2 months. We wrote that and I took a break. Seriously, we wrote that and I took a break. That was right before the first tour that we were able to tour off of Fury, which was with Falstar The Undertaking in October of 2021. But yeah, so like that's when we started the process a little later than we thought. But I think just with like again, with the pandemic and everything, it was really hard to get that spark. I know some people were sitting at home, like, oh, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna write a record. The opposite happened for me. Like, I don't like my everything shut down. I like everything went into hibernation. It wasn't like I have all this extra time, so I'm gonna do this. I just got totally drained. But yeah, so we started with that and we wrote a couple of more after that. Burn Scar was actually the song where after we did that, it was literally Joe and I sitting in this room working on it. And once we had done that, that's when I knew I was like, okay, something like I think like we're on to something finally. And I think that that was at the early part of 22. So yeah, there was a lot of that. We also had our good buddy Daniel Gailey, who's in Fit for a King and Phineas. He came out here And stayed with me a couple of times. I think one was like a 9, 10 day stretch, and another one was like 4 days. And pretty much just worked in here. I think I took like a full week or something off of work as well. And it was just 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Woke up, came in here, started working. A lot of times we would get into 12, between like 12 midnight to like 3, 4 in the morning,
God
would
damn.
still be going,
Shit.
just drinking beers, writing a record, and
Yeah. Vibes.
that's how we crushed out the rest of the songs. So kind of tag teamed in on like just working working the DAW and like writing stuff in the room. So there were a lot of songs on the record where musically at least we actually conceptualized them and had them finished within the same day. So
God
I
damn.
think at least I think maybe half of them were like that. So
Too
yeah.
bad. So once you got like in the writing groove, that was just like it's game over. The record was written in a short time after that. It was just finding the inspiration to start it was what took so long. Gotcha.
That was the main thing. For me, it took a really long time, and I don't know why. I can just speculate, but yeah. And then of course, like on Joe's end, it's like it's not until he was able to really have like some music. And so then he kind of like was going through the vocal stuff, but even before that, he would like write down like just lines or stanzas or ideas of what he'd want songs to be about. So once like the music was there, he'd be able to pull it and kind of start incorporating it, be like, okay, I think I want this song to be about this, and then go into all his notes, like, what are all the things that are about this? Start formulating something. That's kind of how it went.
Gotcha. Hell
Makes
yeah.
sense. All right. So what song off this album took longest to write, and which one is your personal favorite?
Song that took the longest to write. I'm actually going to go with Hellscapes, the first song.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of reasons for that. I think one being we knew, fun fact, Hellscape, when we were writing it, we knew it was going to be the opener. I don't think we, maybe we knew the whole time, but we knew at some point very early on that it was going to be the opener. Regardless of that song went through an entire version where it was finished before like it was actually finished, with Dan. And then once we got to Bo at his place down in Temecula, tore the entire thing apart. The original chorus is actually the pre-chorus that only happens once before the first chorus. That was the original chorus. The new existing chorus we completely wrote there with Bo, like redid. The little riff that kind of comes in before the whole song kicks in was actually the entire first verse. And then the riff was like completely rewritten. That's actually the first verse. A lot of crazy crap happened. But yeah, that one I'd say probably took the longest. Like I remember kind of just being in that mode of, I have no idea what the hell this is going to be. I have no idea where the hell this is going to go. I don't see the vision. I don't think any of us did. So like Bo was like working on something on like some amps or some stuff. Joe was on his computer either doing lyric stuff or something. So I was like, all right. So I just went up to the console. I just sat in the chair for like 30 minutes and I just played it over and over and over again. And after those 30 minutes, I like stopped it and I turned around. I was like, all right, this is what we're going to do. Miraculously, what I said ended up happening and being the final version. I was like, all right, we're going to move this here. This is going to become that. The riff is now the verse. We're going to move this over here. And that was just me just being like, all right, we're just going to see if this is what happens. And that ended up being it. But that was the that was like the toughest one. So I probably think that one took the longest just because we worked on it in the first time we went to see Bo. We were still working on it the second time, but we finally figured it out there. And Joe was able to write a chorus on the spot in the room. That night, we went back to the Airbnb. He wrote all the lyrics for the chorus. I went into the other room and wrote all the screaming patterns for the song, recorded them on my phone, gave them to Joe. Joe filled out the lyrics, and I think we were recording the vocals for that either like the next day or the day after or something. So it was a slow burn to get it to that point, and then at that point we finished it pretty quickly. But
I feel like that's kind of the motto of the band in a way. It's just like it takes a while to get there, but once you're there, that's it. It's takeoff.
pretty much, pretty
Gotcha.
much. So,
Nice. And your personal favorite?
personal favorite song. Hold on, I got a tea delivery for my throat. This is
Heyo.
Ooh.
so I got my little Ted Lasso mug too.
Oh, that's so
Nice.
badass.
Have you seen Ted Lasso? Please
I've
tell me.
been meaning to, because it's won like a lot of awards, right?
That's why, okay, yeah, little segue. I'll get to my song. That's why I started watching it.
Yeah.
Because it's like nominated or either nominated for or won like 23 Emmys in 2 seasons. And I was like, who does that?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
So
Yeah.
I
And
was
it,
like, okay, I need to check this out.
is it in like the same circle as like Schitt's Creek, Community, kind of like that little type of show?
I don't even know.
Huh.
It's something special. Like I highly recommend it. It's one
Yeah.
it's my favorite show on Apple TV for sure.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, it's like in its own category for me. Watch it.
Damn.
It's tight.
Okay.
It's
Okay. I'll
tight.
see what I can do. I'll see what I
Yeah.
can do.
Yeah. It'll make you feel good too. But it's like even our drummer Ryan, he was like, dude, I started watching it. I really wanted not to like it. And then I just couldn't not like it. He was like, it was
Yeah.
great. And I was just like, ooh, that's saying something. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. You can't hate it. Hell yeah. I'll have to check it out. I'll have to check it out.
Highly recommend.
All right.
Okay, personal favorite song.
Yes.
Like there's different ones for different reasons. Like there's ones for like the riff or that's fun to play. I'll go with I'll go with memorable to an extent. So actually one of like the best memories for the record was, so I talked about Hellscape, right? It's the first song. I'm gonna go to the last song, title
Okay.
track. That one is a little different for us. That was also one where, funny enough, these two songs, when we wrote them, we knew when we were writing Hellscape, it was going to be the first song. We also knew when we were writing the last song that it was going to be the last song on the record. Like we wrote the opener as the opener, we wrote the closer as the closer. We did not intend for the closer to initially be the title track of the record. We weren't going to have a title track. It wasn't until Joe started writing the lyrics where he said, I think this actually might be a title track. But yeah, I remember doing that one. We had actually completely finished our time with Bo by the time that we had finished. We had that song musically done. L vocally, Joe and I were kind of on our own with that. So we actually finished that at a studio. Like we sent it to Bo and everything, and he kind of like gave the mark of approval. And if there were any edits and everything, like he would give them. There were a couple ideas that he had before we went in and started like writing the vocals and recording it and finishing it. So there's like an idea or two that like he had in there vocally that he like put in to like finish it, and we ended up doing that. But I remember Joe and I going to a studio near our home with our buddy Nick, who is up in San Mateo. He's also like the very, very early stages, like 2015 when the band started. He was actually one of the original guitarists. So we finished it with him. He engineered all the vocals, and it was just me and Joe. And Nick and our buddy Kevin, who was taking like some photos and stuff, and we just finished the vocals for the song in one night. That one's also pretty cool because Joe, you know, he wrote like the chorus and he wrote like the first verse. And then he kind of told me when I was like, this was like November 22, I think, one of those, where I like took my own like little trip by myself just to like get away from everything. And he kind of told me, he said, "Hey, I want you to write the second verse." And I was like, "Okay." So yeah, for that one, we kind of tag teamed it. So I remember like taking a walk and writing the whole second verse the day we were supposed, like during the day that we were supposed to go to the studio that night. And so I would just like took a walk around and kind of like wrote that whole thing and sent it to him. And he looked at it and he didn't change a thing. So like that's what the second verse is. And what's cool is that's also a song where him and I are like both doing vocals on it, and we kind of like switch off on certain things. So like the whole experience of that last song and writing it as the closer and just trying to make it this like special and somewhat epic thing, I don't know, that whole thing was cool. I was also a little bit nervous just because like it's different for us. So I was like, we're gonna do this, we're gonna try to tackle it. I have no idea how the hell it's gonna go. Hopefully people like it, hopefully it doesn't suck. And at the end of it, we were just stoked because we're like, we actually think this is pretty fucking cool. So
Yeah,
hell yeah,
but
that's
yeah,
good.
so I like that one. That one's fun.
Yeah,
Hell yeah,
hell yeah.
awesome.
Now you answered the fucking question I was gonna have, which is I
Gosh.
always ask opener and closer. You write it to be that, or you shuffle around. So instead, the rest of the record, how did you guys go about sequencing that? Was it purely based off vibes? Did you have an idea? Talk a little bit about that.
That is a good question. I think that for like First Light, for example, we knew that that was going to be, we knew that First Light was going to be the second one. I think just coming out of Hellscape, like it coming into that, like it kind of hits you right off the bat. It's a good one just to like follow up. It's also quicker. It's about like 3.5 minutes. It kind of just felt like song number two. We knew that Evergreen was going to be fifth, even when we wrote it, because wait, do you guys know like the anything from the first record at all?
Be honest,
Unfortunately
no. Okay.
not. This
No
was our
worries.
introduction.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
so Evergreen is actually the lyrical sequel to a song on the first album.
Love
Oh,
when
I fucking
bands do
love
that
bands
shit.
do that.
Hell yeah.
So that song on the first record is called 1018. It's one of, we had like two ballad esque type songs on the first record. One of them, 1018, that's what Evergreen is actually the sequel for. And then Evergreen's kind of like the only ballad-ish type song we have on this record, but it's heavier than both of the other ones. So we, knowing that it was kind of the only one in that the last song sounds like it does, we kind of felt like, okay, number five and number 10. Like kind of like halfway point, final point, everything else in between is kind of, a little bit more chaotic, heavier, whatever. So we knew Evergreen was going to be there. Then we kind of just looked at it in terms of like, what are the songs we want on the first half of the record? What do we want on the second half of the record? Rusted Crown intentionally was put second to last. We kind of like to put something that brings the energy level up again right before the end. Yeah, and then from there we kind of just massaged around the first half and the second half. We're also huge vinyl nerds, so we did look at it as like side A and side B.
Yeah.
Damn right.
So we were like, all
Yeah.
right, song six starts side B. What's like the second opener, kind of, right?
Yeah.
So we also looked at it that way. There's a lot of different ways that we did it. It got like, I got super analytical about it, but then at the same time pulled back and be like, all right, we're gonna listen to this and see if it flows. Fortunately, compared to the first record, we kind of track we track listed that a few times and went through a couple iterations of like listening to it all the way through. This one, we had a theoretical, like, we think this would be dope. We listened to it the first time and we were like, cool, that's it. We only track listed it once and it ended up being like how we wanted it. So
Hell yeah, that's fucking
that's so
sick.
fucking rare.
I yeah, I do
I
love
was still mad
that.
because I did not want to do it again.
No.
I don't blame you. I do love, when a band put so much thought into the track list because it is like a dying art in the sense of, like, you know, there's streaming and playlisting and singles and everything's a single and all that fucking shit, and you got to catch people's attention within the first three songs, and it's like now it's just front, it's like front loading the fucking record like you would for a CD with the vinyl or with streaming now. So it is refreshing to see to hear when bands geek out over the track list, because, you know, we asked the question, we're obviously interested in hearing about that process. So it's always good when a band is like, fuck yeah, man, we were so analytical about it. Like that makes me like my heart sing.
We do that a lot because Joe and I are also the kind of people where, like, we just remember being fans of music, but, like, just, you know, before we were ever signed, and kind of just looking at other bands and being like, fuck, we want to do that. And so we've tried as much as we can to kind of bring that same energy of, like, being fans of music, knowing what we love to see, right? Knowing, like, the things that bands used to do that we really, really liked. And part of it is also because it's like, man, I that would be so cool if we get to the point where we're the ones who are able to do that. So we're trying to, like, remember those things and not lose those and keep doing that. So, yeah. We love that shit.
Hell yeah. Keeping the spirit alive is what'll keep the train going, you know, because the music industry, I'm sure you know, fucking blows. So keeping the spirit alive.
It's fun.
So would you be able to tell us where your headspace is at while you're creating this album?
Dark. Yeah, it was weird. So I, like everyone in the band kind of went through their own stuff at different points during the making of this record. For me, like, I had a really kind of weird, hard time from mid 2022 to honestly the end of last year. So, you know, mental health was like a concept on my radar. It wasn't anything that I fully understood until I actually went through like my first kind of like issues with it. Just like certain things where I was just like, man, like, I don't, like, there's parts of me where it's like, I didn't really feel like myself, or like parts of me that I felt like I had lost, which was like freaking scary. Cause it's like what I didn't even know like what that conceptually would even be like until it happened. And then started kind of like having those thoughts in my head of just like, maybe that's what's happening right now, and this is kind of weird, and what if it never comes back?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say that definitely during the second half of writing, or maybe even like a little bit of the first, like it was just kind of just figuring out, you know, how to deal with a lot of the things of normal life while at the same time having to be creative and write this record. On top of that, it being the second record, we already put out the first one, so the expectations are higher. Mm-hmm. So everything was just more.
Yeah.
Everything was more. Stuff going in my personal life was more. The record was more. The pressure was more. The amount of responsibilities that I had in general was just more, right? Mm-hmm. So basically dealing with more and having to deliver at a higher level kind of just was wild. So, yeah, I think that in pockets, like, it made it more manageable, but looking at it as an entire thing was like super daunting. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, at the end of it, the thing that kept, I don't know, like one of the things for me that like kind of kept it going was just like, sometimes like I'll stop and I'll just kind of think, I wonder how this is going to look when it's done. Cause it's going to get there.
Perspective. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I know it's going to get there. Like right now I might feel a certain way. So like, I wonder what it's going to be like in like 4 months. Cause I know that I'm going to be there in 4 months.
Yeah.
So I just like think of that, and it's kind of maybe one of those things to help just let go and just go, you know, I know that I'm going to do everything that I can. I know that I'm not going to let myself just like fall apart and like mess this whole thing up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of that. It was a lot of thinking, a lot of like introspection, and
yeah.
I think thematically also the record and like even what it's about and the stuff that we tackle, and just the album cover being a little bit less pretty than the first, like in certain ways. Like I really like it. It's like all of it was intentional. But I think that everything, the record, what it's about, how the songs sound, the visuals, kind of all in a way match like what we were going through, especially when you look at it from like the difference between how the first one sounds and looks compared to what the second one sounds and looks, which I think is pretty cool. It's like a time capsule for us of kind of like what went down, which I know for a lot of bands it's the same for them, but even more so, it's like it resonates. So
Yeah,
yeah.
absolutely.
Oh yeah. So how do you recommend your fans to listen to this album for the first time? Should you do it in the car with friends and talk with headphones on? Is it a workout album, party album? What do you personally recommend?
Ooh. To each their own. I would say, I mean, for me, it's like, oh, if it's me, it's like, yeah. Light some candles that you really like. I mean, it's like I want to say, like, light some candles you really like, have it on vinyl, put it on your record player, get some whiskey or some wine or whatever your drink of choice is. But at the same time, it's like, like, don't wait until the vinyl gets to you to like listen to it. Just like, stream it when it comes out. But yeah, I would say just outside of the singles that everyone's heard, like once it comes out, like listen to it all the way through. Again, we did think about the track listing. It was intentional. So I'm curious to see what everyone thinks. We're definitely album people, even though I know like the industry is also like singles driven, but it's like, especially with vinyl being back now, it's kind of like, no, you can make the case for albums and flows and track listings are still important. So, but yeah, I would just say give it a listen once through, all the way through. And if you like doing that, like with friends and everything, like, cool. I'm not going to tell everyone, like, you have to sit there in silence and completely listen to it with no distractions. Like, do whatever you want. But
Yeah.
that would be tight, though.
All right.
Hell
Hell
yeah.
yeah.
Awesome. So this one should be super, super quick off the top of your head. I want you to describe this album for new listeners in three words. No more, no less.
Chaotic,
Okay.
melancholic,
Okay.
and purposeful.
All right.
That's great. I thought you were going to end with another ick.
Yeah, I was hoping you would
I
keep the
was,
extra going, but
damn it.
purpose
I'm
was
going to go
good.
either way.
Hell
Yeah.
yeah.
Hey, would it be chaotic if it was all the same?
No, you
True.
have a point.
Yeah.
You have a point.
So in that same train of thought, is there a certain feeling or emotion you want listeners to have going through the album?
I don't know, just different peaks and valleys. Like, like we want the highs to be high. We want the lows to be like, you sit there and you're just like, okay, because like we want both. Like we wanted the album to be heavier. We wanted to go harder on certain things and like we had done on the first record, but we didn't want to get rid of the melody. We didn't want to get rid of the choruses. We didn't want to like ditch the catchiness that, I feel like we kind of like tried to establish on the first record. We wanted to grow all of it kind of in each direction, but also at the same time make it a little bit more focused. So first album was a little bit more of like a palette of this is what we like to do, and it can be a little bit of everywhere, but that was also intentional because we knew on the second record if we went in a certain direction it couldn't be like, oh, you guys went this, or like,
What
this isn't you
happened?
did that. And it's like, no. Remember this thing from the first record? We just did more of that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we progressed it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know if
Dude.
that answered your question. I apologize. Maybe it did.
I think so.
It, yeah. Yeah, it did well. So, are you able to touch on any particularly challenging or standout moments from the creation of this album, positive or negative?
Already talked about the Hellscape thing. Let's see. Yeah, just starting. Talked about Burn Scar. Like that was something where Joe had a base idea of the main riff that was just like pretty linear and like repeating. And so that was something where I think for the first time, I kind of just like took it and completely was like, he was like something like this. And I was like, oh, okay. So then that's where I kind of like just like messed up the timing and like did some other stuff. And in terms of memorable, probably that bridge riff. I just like sat here in this chair for 5 minutes noodling on the guitar, and that was pretty much it. That's also when Joe figured out, or learned. That's where Joe apparently learned for the first time how I write, which he was like, how do you, because like for him, he'll like think of the notes, like, you know, like sit there and like kind of like with like really like feel out like what the notes are. And for me, like sometimes I'll just do the fucking approach where I'm just sitting there and just like, I don't know, like the cadence is kind of like this, and I'm gonna like mess around. It's within this key and just like moving really fast. And that's kind of like how that came up. But yeah, I don't know. Like all of it. Yeah, all of it. The whole thing was pretty was definitely a challenge. Yeah, I don't know. Feel like I probably touched on all the moments and like all the other stories, because it's pretty they're pretty those are pretty specific ones. But yeah, they have like multiple like instances can like fill multiple stories. So, but yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So for this question, why don't you picture you're on tour, you're at a gas station for a rest stop. What is your snack of choice?
Ooh, see, I just changed stuff recently, so it's like difficult. I was like, okay, do I go with like what I used to do? Because it's like Gardetto's for some reason. I don't know, like
Is that a
that.
gas station?
No, it's like a like little garlic chips that are usually part of like a larger pack. It's, you know, but they also have them where it's like just by themselves. No, screw that. I'm gonna go Pringles.
Okay.
Yeah.
What flavor?
See, sour cream and onion, probably.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't do those as
Respectable.
much anymore. I'll just do original because there's no dairy in it. But
Yeah.
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 Pringles.
Sounds
I
fair.
love Pringles. Pringles and Sun Chips. Ooh, sour cream and onion Sun Chips.
That's fair. I've only had like Sun Chips once in my life and I hated it. And I haven't gone back. I think it was just too thick of a chip for me. And I just said, I'm good.
Was
I
it
can't.
original?
Yes.
That's why.
I could still taste it. And it was
No.
awful.
Yeah, I tried to get on the Sun Chip wave with the original because I'm vegan and the rest of them, for whatever reason, I'll have dairy in them. So I'm
Yeah,
like, as
lots of
much as the
dairy.
garden salsa one looks fantastic, for some reason it has dairy in it. So I was like, I'm gonna get on the Sun Chips crave, and I just
It just doesn't hit,
no.
right? Yeah.
No. It's gotta be the I think it's sour cream and onion, right? The green one, whatever that is. The
Yeah.
original is like, I don't even know why those are out there, because they feel like they need to have an original. If it sucks, don't do it. Just
Exactly.
yeah, make the flavored one the original. Like, you don't need like, oh, I'm gonna have a plain chip. Like, why?
Who the
Yeah.
fuck wants that? You know?
Yeah.
Unless it's Pringles. You
Unless
know,
it's Pringles.
I do like original
Yeah.
Pringles.
Which,
Yeah.
by the way, did you hear, like, I mean, they haven't done it yet because I've checked the labels and it still hasn't happened. But there was a thing like Pringles was going to bring milk back into their original
What
flavor.
the
And I'm like,
hell?
why?
For what
No.
reason? It's fine
Yeah,
without
don't
it.
do that. Yeah, because here's the thing. I try to eat vegan as much as I possibly can. So don't fuck that up for me, too.
Exactly. Yeah, because
What the
the rest of
hell?
the flavors, fuck that. You can't have any of them.
Just
But
milk.
the fucking the originals, they're trying to fuck everything up.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to go plant-based, all the brands, and Pringles is trying to go backwards.
Yeah,
The
it's like,
fuck?
come on, man. That is not the trend.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Man, fuck Pringles.
Their research team needs to do a better job with the times.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
real. My God. And on the topic of food, if the band was a dish, what dish would the band be and why?
Ooh, sushi Rito.
Sushi-rito, is that a sushi burrito? Damn. What? So is that
That's
like
probably so not true, but because
Oh.
Joe doesn't like sushi,
Oh.
but I don't know. So that's probably just more in my favor. I'm just thinking like, okay, it's like, because Joe's El Salvadorian. I know that that's not burritos, but you know, like, fuck, whatever. Ryan's white. I'm white and Japanese, so that's where the sushi things come in. But I don't know that.
Sushi-rito's chill.
Yeah, like that could be good. Maybe I don't know. Maybe a burrito bowl.
Ooh.
Little Tex-Mex. There's some rice in there, you know.
Yeah.
You get some tofu that's like Japanese. Sprinkle it in. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I went very like ethnic specific on that, and not like anything to do with like what our band sounds like. I'm just thinking about the three of us put it into a
Exactly.
bowl.
Yeah.
I love it. I
That's
love
great.
it.
That's great.
Fucking awesome.
And for the last couple of questions, I'm going to shift completely away from music and go straight to death row.
Boom.
So, if you're on death row, what would your last meal be with a drink?
Ooh, okay, death row. My meal would be, I don't know, probably like pasta, some sort of pasta.
Ooh.
Okay.
I don't know. I could eat pasta every day. I
Yeah.
have eaten it every day before. So,
Yeah.
doesn't really matter what type, probably something with tomato sauce, not cream sauce.
Oh, okay.
Maybe something with some seafood in there, maybe like a cioppino pasta or something. Drink. Oh man, I don't know. Part of me wants to go with like a really good craft piney IPA. Another part of me wants to go with like a Cab Sauvignon from Napa Valley and get super bougie.
Yeah.
And the other part of me just wants to go like old fashioned.
Damn.
So,
Huh. Why
one of
not all
each.
three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. All three. If you give me all three, I'll take it. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll
Damn
take
right.
it.
And if you could live in one fictional world for a week, where would you live?
Oh, Harry Potter.
What house are you?
Gryffindor.
Oh, okay.
I took the
That makes
test.
sense.
It's legit. I'm not just saying
Oh,
that.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that sounded like genuine, like you knew your shit. So that's I accepted it immediately.
And I've not been asking the last question. Every single person that we've spoken to have said that it is the most important question. What's your favorite color?
Green.
Specific shade of green.
Forest green.
You got
Damn.
those answers on lock.
Priorities to figure out in life. Your Harry Potter house and your favorite color.
Yeah.
You're right.
Hell
You're
yeah.
right.
So as I said, that's all the questions I have today. Is there anything that you would like to plug?
I mean, just, records coming out April 19th. I know that it's almost here. It's like what, 2 weeks from tomorrow?
Yeah.
So yeah, check it out. We're super excited about it. We're excited to tour on it. We've been doing a couple. We have another one coming up in May with Dreamwake and our buddies in Red Keep. So that should be super fun. We're looking to finally hit the East Coast this year as well. I know that we announced Capulet Fest, but maybe some stuff around that and
Hint,
not
hint.
just the festival. So like stay tuned.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, check out the record. Follow us on all the stuff if that's what you're into. We answer things on social media. We're not shy to like talk to people. Feel like that's kind of part of what this whole thing is about. So we're not, kind of shy to just like stay away and like not talk to folks. So yeah, hit us up.
Hell yeah. All
Hell
right.
yeah.
Well, thank you, Stas, Ben Grayson from Lightworker, and we have been the Good Noise Podcast.